And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go.
Welcome in. Jeremy Popolars here with you as always. We're rolling. We are basically a week away from the NFL draft, and it's getting exciting. As dynasty managers, it's heating up. Rookie drafts are talking. The trades are flying. The league fees are due. Those notices going out. Everything is flying off the shelves if you're a dynasty manager right now. And we're here to talk about some rookies as we are headed into that draft week. We're going to have some mock drafts here in the next couple episodes prior to the NFL draft here later this week, one early next week, and really hammer home this rookie class prior to the draft. Then we'll be obviously here to cover a ton of it after the draft, get you out an episode after round one there on Thursday night. We'll get an episode for you Friday morning, talking about some of those immediate landing spots. Maybe we'll even toss one in on Saturday. We'll cover you through those early rookie drafts, because I know some of you will have those crazy people starting it on Sunday. I'm in plenty of leagues that will probably be starting Sunday as well. I am one of those crazy people, you could call us, right, that want to get diving into these rookie drafts right away and continue to have that edge that we've built over the last few months headed into the NFL draft. Unless you're, you know, a total college football freak like myself that's been watching these guys for, you know, what, months, years, you name it. Either way, we're excited to talk about it. And I'm going to be talking about some sleeper, air quotes, wide receivers. There's actually one that I think is really, I at least haven't seen a ton for across the board here, moving forward here, at least in the last few weeks, or as far as who could be a true potential sleeper, because there hasn't been much talk about him that we're really seeing here. And I think it's going to be an interesting one that could be a true sleeper. You don't really see that much anymore. There's usually so much information, but I really do think that we have one in this class who could go very much under the radar and be a real good steal in rookie drafts. As long as he's not drafted too high in the NFL draft, that will probably push him up. But let's talk about him. We got to dive in there. We're talking about FTN Fantasy quick. All right, Jeff Radcliffe's scouting guide is out if you haven't purchased it already, or, you know, haven't taken advantage of signing up for FTN Fantasy and then getting the rookie guide as well. Well, that sale may be gone. But either way, you should still sign up and get all of that information for football season starting next week. Those rookie drafts are starting. We just talked about it. We're going to need those dynasty rankings from myself, Jeff Radcliffe, and many more over at ftnfantasy.com. You also get that scouting guide. Jeff's going to update that after the draft. We also have the scouting reports from myself as well on the website, which you can go ahead and get a more in-depth look at each of these players. Also have my top 50 Superflex rankings over there. So tons of rookie content. If you are not part of the FTN family, I suggest joining. It's a very good family to be a part of. Some of the best ranks out there as well in season, which, you know, dynasty managers, we still need those in season ranks. Helps us kind of set up the lineups as we move forward into the coming season. So head on over, check it out, sign up. It'd be cool. It'd be cool if you join us, be a part of the fam, you know. I'd appreciate it. Either way, let's talk about some potential sleeper wide receivers. We're going to start off here with a guy that there's not much to talk about. I'm not as in on this as being a true full-on sleeper, but an interesting player to keep our eye on. Tons of hype around Colorado, right? You got Shedeur Sanders. You've got Travis Hunter. But some people being overlooked. Jimmy Horn, one of them. That's not the one we're going to talk about. But Jimmy Horn and LaJonte Wester were very important key pieces of this Colorado Buffaloes offense. And Wester's the one I want to kind of key in on. Both of them on the more undersized pedigree of a wide receiver would go towards the NFL. But Wester, 5'10", 163. It's a solid build. It's not great, but it's enough to survive the interior slot. Probably not a full-on every-down type of player potentially at the next level. But we've seen some of these undersized receivers have some success here in the past few seasons. But Wester's nose for the end zone is really what draws me to him. Three straight seasons of 8 touchdowns or more. He was second in the Big 12 this past season with 10 touchdowns for the Buffaloes. And he has a decent career arc. It's not like he just came out of nowhere. At Florida Atlantic, he led the American with 1,168 receiving yards in 2023. So it was a down year this past season for Wester, but still totaled over 3,600 career receiving yards, over 30 touchdowns in 58 games. So Wester has been around. He's put it up. He's had 4 straight 700-plus yard seasons. Again, it's more than a one-year wonder. I know they're not, you know, repetitive 1,100-yard seasons or 1,200-yard seasons. Like, yeah, that's not there. But, I mean, he's had solid production. At the collegiate level, 4 straight 700-yard seasons is pretty solid and not often seen, especially with back-to-back 900-plus-yard seasons, 900 this year at Colorado, the 1,100 that led the American in 23. So Wester has a decent profile. It's not amazing. Again, the size a little bit concerning, but he's a quick separator. He has a decent ferocity inside, so I do think he can play a good slot role at the NFL level. Good speed. I mean, he ran a 4.46 40 at the combine. The rest of the metrics aren't ideal. I mean, for size, being a little bit undersized, 121 broad isn't terrible, but it's not great in the 32-inch vertical. He's not a jump ball guy. I'm not expecting that. But a guy that, if you get the ball in his hands, can make a couple things happen, and that nose for the end zone is what's really intriguing. The question will really be, where does he go? Could potentially go undrafted. Could go a little bit earlier, maybe into the day 3 territory. Finds the right spot, could have a potential to be a very quality fantasy asset. We're, like I said, we're seeing some of these slot receivers become target hogs. Question is he just going to be maybe like Wandell Robinson, Sterling Shepard, kind of a slot guy that really just lives as far as the PPR targets come, which can be viable. I mean, Wandell Robinson was that this past season and multiple weeks of real viability based just purely on targets and lack of production. So I think with plenty of targets, Wester could be more productive. But Wandell Robinson is also a very top-tier athlete, so we'll see there as far as that goes. But very good kind of similarity to what his role could be at the NFL level type of comp. So it's not like crazy love here, but I do think there's potential. I want to see where he falls in the draft. Post-draft, I may say, just avoid him. But at the moment, he's not in my top 50, so again, not pounding the table for him by any means, but it's a name to know and remember when it comes next weekend. Maybe it goes a little earlier than we expect. Maybe some intrigue there in the later rounds of your rookie drafts in what is a fairly weak wide receiver class. Next, we're going to talk about another undersized guy. This time, it's an Oregon love, all right? I love my Oregon Ducks. Tez Johnson is one of those. And I was very disappointed in what it came in at the combine at 5'9", 154. He just might be too small. I know we just talked about Wester and these undersized guys having some production at the NFL level, but 154 is scary. That is frail. Okay, and he looks it a little bit, but man, he can play the game of football. All right, Tez Johnson is a football player at heart. In 62 games, he's produced over 3,800 receiving yards and 28 touchdowns. He was fourth in the Pac-12 in 2023 with 1,182 receiving yards. So the production is there. At times, he looked better than Evan Stewart this past season. We had a lot of love for Evan Stewart. He looked better than Troy Franklin at times. And Franklin, you know, although it was a guy that I liked, didn't really pan out a ton so far in his rookie season. Again, really kind of a slot guy. That's where he's going to be limited. This size is way too small to be much more than that. But he has the second best career yards per route run in this class behind Trey Harris at 2.85. We're talking about territories of Malik Nabers, Chris Olave, Khalil Shakir. Obviously, the build's not there than any of those players have. But the production profile is nearing that. And that's the real intrigue for me. I think he's fallen down draft boards, rightfully so, based on his size and the 4.5 140 he ran at the combine. But the 37-inch vertical, 131-inch broad jump are impressive numbers. Those are also showing that explosivity that he has. And he does have that. He may not have that straight line track speed in the 40, but he is twitchy. He can play the game. He can make guys miss. And he is a very sure-handed receiver. So for me, I'm not overly worried about him being on the field as far as the athleticism and talent goes. It's really truthfully the size that concerns me with Tez Johnson. We've seen Tank Dell, although he has had his moments, and injuries can happen to anybody, but the undersized guys are more prone to being injured at times, and Tez Johnson could be that, especially for a guy that's going to operate in the middle where stuff gets crowded and things can happen. So there is worry. I want to see what the NFL has to say about it. You know, we'll see him probably go a little bit earlier. We've seen the likes of Tutu Atwell. I'm trying to think of someone else off the top of my head that's a little bit undersized, but Tutu Atwell comes to mind for Tez Johnson. That is undersized, a little bit speedier, can still make some things happen at times, but he's not going to be a staple on our dynasty rosters on a weekly starting basis. When he gets an opportunity, he might be a fill-in, much like Tutu Atwell. All right. Let's talk about the final two, then we'll get you out of here. A little bit quicker episode this week. We're going to talk about Pat Bryant next, out of Illinois, a guy that I have just a little bit of a crush on as far as this draft cycle goes. Are the numbers there? Meh, not really. Is the underarching advanced statistics there? Eh, not really. But there's something about his game when you watch him play that seems like it may translate well. In a class that's not full of real true X receivers, Pat Bryant is one of them. 6'2", 204, good size to play the perimeter at the NFL level, does very good at stacking defenders, getting downfield, fighting on some press. He isn't the greatest in that category, much like most collegiate receivers. They don't see a ton of it. Not ideal. Could use a little bit more physicality to his game in that category, especially once he's making it to the NFL level where corners are a little lengthier, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. A little concern there. But he is quick off the ball, can kind of really be a three-level threat. A little bit more feels like a second to third-level threat at the NFL level. And more could end up being just kind of a deep threat. A little bit Darius Slayton type of territory there for Pat Bryant. He didn't run a good 40 time, so that's a little bit of a concern. But on tape, he does show that ability to get downfield. Not overly concerned. In only 46 games, produced just over 2,000 yards, 19 touchdowns. He was third in the Big Ten this past season with 10 touchdowns and fourth in 2023 with 7. So again, another guy, much like Wester, who we talked about a little earlier, that has a nose for the end zone. Really has good ball skills, very good body control and sideline awareness. Really do think that his game will translate extremely well to the next level. So it's just a guy that is going to be a sleeper. He's going to be later in your drafts. He's going to get drafted a little bit later. But in that right spot, a little bit more of a high-volume passing attack could really kind of be that go-to deep threat, maybe DJ Chark type of territory. I don't know if you get that high-end ceiling that we got out of DJ Chark that one season. Maybe you're closer to what DJ Chark is now. Which is not great, but we saw that potential upside from DJ Chark prior to the injury. I think Pat Bryant could be similar in that category when it comes down to it. A little bit more of that median between that high-end Pro Bowl season from Chark and what we've seen in the past few years, barring injury. So it's going to take the right fit. A little bit better Gabe Davis-style type of ability somewhere in there. A little bit more athletic, not as physical. Says Gabe Davis, that kind of, you know, field stretcher, right offense, could have some potential there. So later in drafts, worst dart throws you could make than on Pat Bryant. Last but not least, this is the true sleeper of this class. Nobody's really, really talking about him. I mean, there's rumblings, rightfully so, because he should. At one point, a guy that was very highly regarded in this class that has fallen off. due to an injury this past season. Torrey Horton. Remember the name? Sound familiar? Feel like you should know the name? Probably should. 6'2", 196. Good NFL size. You know, not like he had back-to-back 1,100-plus yard seasons in 2022 and 2023, which were both top two in the Mountain West, respectively, in both seasons. He was top five in the Mountain West in touchdowns in 2020, 2022, and 2023. Torrey Horton is a production machine, over 3,600 receiving yards in 51 games at 27 touchdowns. The knee injury that he sustained this past season really derailed his season and really derailed his draft hype. Let's put it that way. Had a good combine, ran a 4.41 40 and a 37.5 inch vertical. Solid numbers. All right. They're not earth shattering by any means, but they're solid. You know, that 37.5 inch vertical puts him about, you know, middle of the pack of performers at the combine, right in that territory. Similarly to Pat Bryant, just a couple inches below Trey Harris, Eric Ayomanner, who have more discussion amongst them. His 4.14 40, well, 4.41, jeez, flipping numbers there, man. If you're in a 4.14, we'd be really talking about him, right? 4.41 40 was definitely up there amongst this class, tied for third at the combine. So, speedy type of guy, good three-level threat, good hands, good production profile. His yards per route run, 2.46. It was 57th amongst the 187 wide receivers that I have in my database and Pro Football Focus's data since 2020. So the numbers are there, statistically, behind it for Torrey Horton. He also has a 2.21 missed tackles forced per touch. That is a solid number. You know, when you're really looking at it at a statistical level, you know, he's got some of the good things that you're looking for. The missed tackles forced, 0.21, is a solid number. His yards per route run, like we mentioned there, at 2.46, which was 57th amongst receivers. He also has over 1,500 yards after the catch, according to Pro Football Focus. And the 57 missed tackles forced, 0.21 per touch, is a very solid number as well. Over 50% in his contested catch territory as well. All good numbers for a guy that probably will be an X receiver, potentially could play Z as well at the next level, but that 6'2 really gives him a little bit more of that perimeter type of role. I think he'd be better there, being able to stretch the field, really kind of be a three-level player. I think he could still operate, obviously, in some screens and stuff like that. A little bit more than, say, Pat Bryant could. Similar players, similar archetypes. I prefer Torrey Horton. I do like Pat Bryant, like I said. But Torrey Horton really is a guy that I feel like should be talked about more and is not being talked about. And I'm giving it to you here right now. I waited long enough to break it to you, but a week before. If you haven't turned on Torrey Horton tape, do it. Strongly suggest it. Look for the scouting report. That's going to be coming out. Working on Kyle Williams right now. Then we'll have Torrey Horton out. Probably just because I decided right now, because I really want to watch this tape again. But yeah, I do fancy me some Torrey Horton. I think that should be a guy that's really talked about here coming out of Colorado State. That injury has thrown him to the back burner, and people are forgetting about him. Similarly to Jalen Royals, guy that we've talked about on the podcast here in the past. I didn't pick him to talk about him in this draft or this episode because we've talked about him before. A few episodes back, really is a guy, as well as Ricky White, too, could be kind of a sleeper. Talked about him enough as well in prior episodes. Didn't really want to dive into him again. So those two, keep them on the radar as well. All right. That's it. That's what we got for some sleeper wide receivers here. Just wetting the whistle prior to the NFL draft in this receiver class. It's not a super strong one, but these non-super strong ones do draw some gems because people fall in love for wrong reasons with certain players, and some of the better, less lovely players fall to us later in the draft. And I think Torrey Horton, Pat Bryant are two names you really got to pay attention to. Tez Johnson as well should be that third name right there for you. And, you know, that dart throw is LaJonte Wester. Keep him in the mind as we head towards the NFL draft. Pay attention where they land. Maybe they could be that diamond in the rough for you late in your rookie drafts. But we'll have more after the draft. Remember, this is pre-draft. We want to see where they land, see how crowded that room is, see if there's going to be opportunity. That's the key there. So, now that you've wet the whistle, head on over to ftnfantasy.com. Check out the scouting reports on all those players. Check out the top 50 Superflex rankings. Little secret, you can click on the player's name. It sends you to their scouting report. So you could two birds in one stone. See where they rank, click on their name, send you the scouting report. All in one nice little article. Check it out. Head on over there. All right. Also check out Jeff Radcliffe's rookie guide. Great information is there as well. Keep looking for the good stuff from the Dynasty department that we have over at FTN Fantasy that has been revamped this offseason. Very quality crew of FTN content creators over there. So make sure you follow at FTNFantasy.com on all the socials, X, Twitch, YouTube. What do we got here? Instagram, all of them. I don't know. There's too many of them to remember anymore. Make sure you follow me, though, on the two that I pay attention to the most, X and Blue Sky, both Pope's FFH. Dabbling in some Reddit, you know. Did an Ask Me Anything this past Friday over there on the Dynasty Fantasy Football channel. Going to maybe dabble in that a little bit more. So maybe you'll catch me on those streets as well. Please remember, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Greatly appreciated, for sure. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.